have one more student presentation to give briefly, and Jose Lopez Arroyo couldn't be in attendance. He had some family concerns at home that prevented him from attending, and as a result, I've been asked to read his presentation. So if there's anything in here offensive or upsetting to any of you, I had nothing to do with it. I'm just the messenger. All right. And I'm reading this, so it begins, "I am Jose," and I'm actually not. But it says, "I'm Jose, trying to speak via John. I was in the Blauvelt lab during 1995 to 1999. I was the last of Maurice's graduate students at Cornell. I made this brief presentation because, unfortunately, I was unable to be in person in the event that honors Maurice and Katie Tauber. In the subsequent slides, I will present the significance of Maurice and Katie from Mexico. But first, sorry guys, no matter how hard you work, in Mexico the biological control community only recognizes a few persons, and the Taubers are in such a select group. Why? Pest control in many crops depends mainly on use of lacewings. We are a chrysopid nation. And the value of the Tauber studies is obvious, as they have allowed the extensive use of diverse species of chrysopidae. Presently, we have at least a net of 60 commercial mass rearing labs in the country. Most of them produce lacewings. The importance of chrysopids for biological control in Mexico is remarkable. During the last 9 years, during 1999, 2005, and 2008, they've been the theme in the meetings of the Mexican Society for Biological Control. Also, they appear in recent books dedicated to biological control in Mexico. During 2002, Mexico was invaded by the Asian citrus psyllid, Diaphorina citri, the vector of Candidatus liberibacter species, a pathogen that causes huanglongbing, a serious disease that threatens the survival of the citrus industry in the Americas. Presently, different countries are struggling to confront such a problem. In Mexico, we're in the same condition. Our approach includes biological control, as we have found numerous natural enemies attacking the pest. And if biological control doesn't help, we're sure we're going to find an intelligent measure. After all, as Maurice says, Cornell guys are capable of anything. Finally, I want to share a little misunderstanding during my stay in the Blauvelt lab. Daily at the end of the day, Maurice always encourages us for the new, whoops. See, Cornell people can do anything. I'll start over on that sentence. Maurice always encourages us for the new day with the Blauvelt lab motto. As you can notice, I was always hearing a different word. So, oh. Those were the most shining days. So Jose says, "Maurice and Katie, congratulations," and cheers. All right. Now, we're fortunate today to have the Taubers' three children with us, Paul, Michael, and Agatha. We'd like to invite you all to come on up here. They have a presentation they'd like to give. Want me to start your slideshow?
Yeah, go for it.
All right.
So, as a laser chemist, I think it's very important to start off with a appropriate pointing tool here. Thank you, John and Jim, for the great opportunity to join in on this symposium. And first and foremost, it's been wonderful to hear these talks. I think it almost, as an American Chemical Society member, an American Physical Society member, I think it should be a requirement to go to these different meetings and hear some actually very interesting work. So that's been, I think, first and foremost, the goal of the symposium, but also I think the three of us are really really happy to join in on this symposium, recognizing the work of mom and dad. So it's difficult enough to summarize a rich scientific career, and we're not going to do that, so don't worry. What we just wanted to do was go through very informally and show you some quick slides showing work in the field primarily over the past, I think, dare we say it, 40 years by the F1s, which I guess that's technically what we are. So it all starts off with togetherness, right, Paul? So these expeditions go back as far as we can recall. They certainly predate 1979, but in order to get earlier photos, that would have required blowing the element of surprise and asking the real family photographer, and that's Dad, for photos prior to this one in the Smoky Mountains. You can really tell it's the 70s. There's Agatha with a headband there. That really is 70s. And here's a trailhead in Kings Canyon. They bring back really great memories of so many trips that we took together as a family, and also some of the life lessons, of course, togetherness, that goes without saying, and others that I think we, in addition to this, to sticking together, lessons that we share with their students as well, the academic family. But anyway, just a couple other slides showing togetherness now in Central America. This slide here showing, I think we are on the top of a very cold mountain pass in Mexico, after having slept, all of us, in that VW microbus. I don't think it was such a comfortable evening, and I think, recall, that was a trip to San Cristobal de las Casas, and there was other distress that I don't think we want to talk about either now or at lunchtime. But I think on the Usumacinta River between Mexico and Guatemala, that I think we all remember with a little bit easier trip, the boat ride there to a collecting site, as you can see the nets. So, we have to start off with an apology immediately for only selecting just a few slides of the academic family or students and associates who've joined in on these trips over the years. In fact, John mentioned a zoo. I guess the three of us have sort of let out of the Blauvelt Lab Zoo, and here we are coming back to haunt them. Anyway, this certainly when we were growing up, the trips with Bob and Diane Helgeson, of course Jim and Judy when she was joining in, and of course John O'Bricky, shown here with Bob and Jim. We remember all those really great times, and what else? I think I'm forgetting it. So, this has already been, the ordering is a little different here, working hard, playing fair, and living clean. When we were growing up, of course, this was not a motto that we heard at home, but we were surrounded all the time by examples of doing just that. And I think, I like to think that it made an impression on all of us. I think that this was the de facto lab motto, at least by our understanding. I don't think there was any other tradition or motto that was as long-lived as that one. Perhaps St. Patrick's Day celebration was the second strongest tradition.
Then there's the other ones that came around. I don't know if you were in the lab and you saw the motto that was this little cartoon that always was up there that said, "No, this is not kissy lips," and some accountant that was there. And then also the one that's particularly important in my life too is, it's hard to soar like an eagle when you're working with turkeys. So those are also de facto lab mottos too.
Yeah, I think I remember that one on the front door of the office, right? More pictures of working hard, playing fair, and living clean. It may take a grimace or two, but anything is possible with this motto. So as far as the impact on the F1 generation, you'll have to trust us that living you know, growing up to that standard was actually, it felt natural, but now that we're obviously on our own independent lives, it's a little bit harder to keep to that same standard. And so I think there's a trend that everybody's aware of lifelong learning and continuing education and refresher courses. But as has been mentioned, mom and dad are really still keeping up a rigorous pace with the field studies, and there's occasionally an opportunity to join them for such a refresher course on, and I think even here, I think I even see a smile on a corporate lawyer's face for such a refresher course. Really, they've been a lot of fun to join in on these collecting trips. I think there's a recertification, what, every 3 years or something? And now, let's see, with in 2002, with the birth of Richard, or Ricky Tauber, dad and mom became grandparents, and you can see there's a transformation here that Ricky's showing here on Kauai. You know, after the during a collecting trip, doesn't look all that productive quite yet. Well, other than just sort of dividing cells and growing big, and now just hardly a year later, I think that's a, you know, it's obviously a net, and I think there's a possibility that there's an aquatic entomologist in the making. Who knows? He will certainly have all the freedom to explore what he's interested in without being pushed in any particular direction, as we were. And in fact, there's always these indirect lessons or examples that we saw when we were growing up. Here's a picture of, a couple of pictures of Bob Helgeson. This is before he acquired all the administrative titles such as dean and I think vice chancellor at Massachusetts Amherst. Shown here, he was picking through, well, how to say it, I guess a cow flop. I don't know what the technical thing is, but he's looking for Scarabaeidae. And when we saw this early in, this is in the 80s, as you can see, we realized there were always alternatives to what one could do. And all of a sudden, swinging a net for Chrysopody was not so bad after all. So I think we enjoyed that sport. So Paul, you want to talk about the Brazil?
So as mentioned, mom and dad have done some work recently in Brazil. And you see Gilberto Albuquerque and some of in the pictures here. It's fame and fortune in Brazil, and a couple of those trips involved media. And I don't know how to say it in Portuguese, but it's really an experience to hear how excited a reporter can get about a full BioQuip box full of insects. So it's 200 species of insects in the box! Just as if Ronaldo had scored the winning goal versus Argentina. So I'm sorry I can't say it in Portuguese, but you get the idea. So this is now what is the renovated and new improved Blauvelt lab, thanks to the special talents of Cornell facilities, as well as maybe no thanks to UAW Local 2300. There is a one thing that you'll see that's missing from that picture. Does it work like this one?
Yeah. Where is that blue door?
Yeah, where's the blue door? The bright blue door, that's no longer there.
Well, you can see a little bit of a tinge there in the background. I think Paul's referring to the thoroughness of the paint job. You can see it's hidden, but there's still a blue streak right down the middle. So important to note.
Keeping that blue state tradition. This is the new Blauvelt lab. It's more mobile, less maintenance. There's no humidity problems, no Percival incubators, no snow to clear from the sidewalk. You know, on-site laundry, on-site cot facilities for
see the socks.
Anybody who wants to work. And so, you know, you want to think about if we had musical accompaniment to the presentation, that you know, recognizing the achievements of mom and dad and working together and having fun as a family. It seems so natural and easy, but now that we're out in the real world, you see that it's not so easy after all. So just want to express our profound appreciation. Thanks for all the good times and many more to come. And we've been extremely fortunate. Now, one important note, in addition to thanking Jim, John, and John for inviting us, is that there's license agreements in the back. Okay, all of the speakers who use this photograph must sign a license agreement and pay royalties to the photographer. And I'll be collecting that.